Matthew chapter 21, if you have your Bible and you want to follow along in the reading, in just a little bit we'll get to that reading. Rejoicing on Palm Sunday. Did you come to church to rejoice this morning, or are you still sleepy from the busy week? I think some of you are still sleepy. Maybe some of you are despondent over problems or things that exist in life or in this world. Let's rejoice on Palm Sunday. Amen. Will you bow your head with me as we seek God's divine help in this part of the service? Father, we're thankful for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for this people that have come to the house of God on a Sunday morning. Grateful, Father, for the heart that draws us to your sanctuary, to your presence. Father, we need your anointing today. It's impossible for me to effectively share the message that you have given to me without your divine help and anointing. Would you settle down with your sweet sense of your presence, your spirit, touching my lips, touching my mind, touching each of our hearts today. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and for your glory I ask it. Amen. Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what some people call Holy Week, or as Edward mentioned earlier, Passion Week. It's somewhat of a break in the more somber attitude of Lent. You know, Lent has that somber attitude of giving up something, a sacrifice of something, some sort, whether it's meaningful or not. That's the key of Lent. And it produces a little bit of a somber attitude because you're giving up something. Palm Sunday. You could actually also say that Palm Sunday is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end. And yet it's not the end, but the very beginning. Next Sunday. Palm Sunday is the time that we recognize and remember the entrance of Christ into Jerusalem. When palm branches were placed in his path, shouts of Hosanna were heard. All of this taking place before he was arrested on Maundy Thursday. And then his crucifixion on Good Friday. Palm Sunday. What a great day. Triumphal entry is what we call it today. Triumphal entry. An entry of triumph. I wish I could take you all there and stand on the Mount of Olives and watch the proceedings of that day. Even to stand there in this day and rehearse all that had taken place and to walk down that hillside and that roadway as all of this transpired. And remember, being there, it would be a great thing to be able to all of us be there and to worship together in that setting. Let's read about it here in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard. You follow along. Again, I do prefer the King James in my reading, in my private reading, in my study, but this morning I feel drawn to read out of the English Standard. Verse number 1 of Matthew 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a colt tied, or a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey or a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? The crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Isn't that a wonderful story, a wonderful part of the beginning of Passion Week, Palm Sunday? The revealing of the Lamb of the world. The revealing of the Lamb of the world. Let's go back for just a little bit and rehearse and remind ourselves a little bit about what all of this is representing in the Old Testament ceremonies and spiritual living. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, the month Nisan, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse number 5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it. In other words, ye shall set it aside. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. You see, this week is Passover. And there was some significance that involved Passover of what was taking place here on this Palm Sunday. The scholars would tell us that the very Sunday, the very day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, was the 10th day of the month Nisan. The very day that the Passover lambs were being set aside. Now, if you look at the calendar, today is the 10th day of April. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, I don't understand all of the differences of the Jewish calendar and our calendar, but I believe that tomorrow is actually the 10th day of that month. So we're very, very close here to that reality of that celebration of the lamb that is to be set aside for the Passover. The lamb was to be selected, and here we find the triumphal entry of Christ. You'll look at the Jewish calendar, and from the 11th to the 13th of that month, the lamb was to be inspected, and it was to be in view. It was to be set up to be watched every day of that time span to look for any blemishes, to look for anything that would appear. Jesus was certainly set up as well. We find that Jesus provides a lot of parables during that time span. And we find him in the temple courts. And he's questioning and he's talking. You remember all those things that took place? The scenes that were there? He was very visible. He was very much inspected. Then we find that on the 14th, of the month, the lamb was sacrificed. Passover and the crucifixion also took place. Jesus wanted to eat of that last Passover with his disciples. He wanted to spend some key time, some quality time. He wanted to share with them some key parts of life and following him, of what it meant to be a Christian following him, his disciple. That Passover lamb was to signify the angel of God that went through the land of Egypt, and the blood of that Passover lamb was to be wiped or be spread on the doorpost. You know, you remember that. You can read about all of that in the book of Exodus and remember it again, and how if the blood was not put on the doorpost or the mantle and the angel came through, that the firstborn was to be slain, would be slain. But that blood caused the angel to pass over. The blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our heart, and we live under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's that Passover that takes place. Made right in the eyes of God because of the blood slain of the Passover lamb. John the Baptist refers to it a couple of different times, mainly in John chapter 1. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. Here's where he's beginning to share the reality of life and what it means in even in our lives, that he, Christ, must increase and I must decrease. It's never about us. It's never about me. It's always to be about him. I don't know if any of you listen to Rowan Fay on Sunday mornings in his little devotional that he shares, but this morning he was talking about the need, the great need that we have for power, the importance that we have power, but it's not a power that we take upon ourselves and to be lifted up ourselves, but it's simply a power to live for God, to live for Christ. And he also mentioned that there is a danger in receiving power, because power can corrupt a person. We have to stay low in the presence and in the power of God. He must increase and I must decrease. The reading goes on, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. In verse number 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And we find that the Lamb was revealed, greatly revealed on that Palm Sunday as he entered into Jerusalem for the final week of his life. 1 Peter, Peter records in that epistle in chapter number 1, ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or from your way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the Passover lamb, who verily was foreordained or was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Manifest, was revealed. The Passover lamb. The Lamb of God was set aside on the 10th day of that month, Nisan. The first Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus, was a time of political turmoil and political chaos, not even needing to go into the spiritual turmoil and the spiritual chaos. It was just simply a time of turmoil and chaos, it seems, on every front. The church had mistaken the meaning behind his entry. The church, you know, in quotation marks. They had mistaken the meaning behind his entry. The church had mistaken the kingdom. The church thought, the religious thought, that this was the time that they were going to be released from their Roman bondage. That they were going to be brought up, that there would be a rising up for personal gain. It was a turmoil and chaos. Has anybody looked around recently? What do you think about when you think about what's going on around the world today? What's taking place around the world today? Do you ever describe things as turmoil or chaos? Jesus came. Jesus was presented as the Lamb of God into a world of turmoil and chaos. We as the church of today must never forget the purpose of His coming. We must never forget the purpose of His coming. The reason that He entered Jerusalem riding on that colt of a donkey was not to establish an earthly kingdom, but the fulfillment of the promised Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He came to carry mankind's sin and pay the penalty of our sin. That is why He came. That's the purpose of His coming. I don't remember. There's so many things that have happened in the last week, it's hard to remember where things happened or what was said and where it was said. But somebody just recently, somewhere, said that God didn't call us to win an argument. He called us to win people. Maybe it was said in reverse. God calls us to win people, not to win an argument. You see, if we win an argument, then we're lifting up ourselves. If we're winning people, we're certainly working towards winning people to Christ. That's why He came. That's the reason for His coming. Things can look bad all around us. There is a lot of things that are disheartening. There's a lot of things that are discouraging. We can find it very prevalent everywhere we turn that there is deception on every hand. We can see it repeatedly over and over again. There is deception everywhere. There's a great falling away that is certainly real. Satan will buffet everyone. You know, it's a little bit alarming to me, and this is just a side note. I think it was Brother Spivey that talked about rabbit trails. You know, the word buffet is the same word as buffet. Satan comes at us and uses all forms of attacks against us. And sometimes he spreads a buffet of glamour and glitz trying to attract us away from the reality of Christ and of being a disciple. He fights everyone who tries to serve the Lord. And sometimes, and I think somebody mentioned this somewhere along the line at the convention as well, that sometimes he even uses good people to divide, to create doubts, or to cause trouble. You know, we face problems. We face discouragements. We face these kinds of battles. I'm looking into the faces of people here this morning that are not exempt from troubles or trials. Are we? It's a side note here. Again, it's another message, but the storms of life, some of them are God-sent, and some of them are caused by other people, and some of them are because of our choices. You know, Jonah's storm was because of his choices. Paul's storm was because of other people's choices. But the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, they were in the storm because God put them there in that storm to teach them a lesson. And sometimes we can't decipher which storm it is. And we most often want to say that the storm that we're living in because of our own choices, because of the consequences of our choices, we want to somehow blame that on God and say that He's brought it to us. We can't look at ourselves or looking at other people and what they've done to us and caused the storm. You know, we face these things all around us. Divides, doubts, and troubles. And some of your battles that you have faced, or maybe the battle that you are facing right now, has been fierce. Sometimes you might even have found yourself reaching for the figurative towel of surrender. You know what that cliche means, that you're throwing in the towel? You might have found yourself even to the point that you are reaching for the towel. I'm not trying to be critical or hard on you this morning. Because there are times when the high tower that we sing about is not seen. We can't see it because of the storm clouds. We can't see it because of the mountain that obscures it from our view. We can't see the high tower. Sometimes we forget to trust His heart. Because He's not arriving to take care of our sick Lazarus, as the story is given to us in John 11. Mary and Martha were crying and pleading and sending messengers, please come, Lazarus is sick, and he just doesn't arrive in time for our Lazarus. And our Lazarus dies, or whatever the case is. Now we know that the scripture tells us that we are not to be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we are faithful, but somehow, because of the circumstances of life, it fades from our memory. We can't reach out and grasp it. We can't pull it up. It's gone. We've struggled and we've battled and we've fought. But this Sunday, today, Palm Sunday, rejoice on Palm Sunday, because we rejoice in a living sacrifice. We rejoice in a living Lord, a King who is still on His throne. I'm asking Susanna to come to the piano somewhere in your song book rack, or if those that are on the back seat, there should be one folded in the front cover of the songbook. A paper that gives us the song, A Church Triumphant. How fitting could it be for us to sing this song together on Palm Sunday? We're not singing hosannas to the Lamb that is being revealed that will be sacrificed, but we're singing this song and rejoicing over the Lamb that was revealed, and we live in the triumph of that revelation. Many of you probably know this song. You don't even need the papers, but they're there somewhere in your book rack or in the book underneath your seat. Let's sing it together.
Let the church be the church, let the people rejoice, for we've settled the question, made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell. Is alive. Rocks on.
God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking that because he had forced the Church of Jesus Christ out of sight, he had stilled its voice and snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it's forced to flow underground. Now the purest water is the stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has forced its way through solid rock. There have been charlatans who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on the open market that power which cannot be bought or sold, but God has always had a people. Men who could not be bought and women who were beyond purchase, God has always had a people. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has been nearly diluted into oblivion by those who sought to make it socially attractive, neatly organized, financially profitable. But God has always had a people. Yes, it's been gold-plated, draped in purple, encrusted with jewels. It has been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned, but God has always had a people. These followers of Christ Jesus have been, according to the whim of the times, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet through it all, their march is on. That powerful army of the meek, God's chosen people who cannot be bought, blabbered, murdered, or stilled. On through the ages they march. The church, God's triumphant church. Let the church be the church. For we've settled the question, we've made our choice. Let the anthems ring out. Is alive. And listen, child of God, it is alive. Discouraged pastor, it's his church and it's still alive. Lonely missionary, sow that seed with confidence. The church is still alive. Old saint, you're not alone or forgotten. The church is still alive. It's alive, my broken-hearted friend. It's still alive. Busy mothers, just keep trusting in Jesus. The church is alive. You're not alone out there, young student. Just keep looking to Jesus. The church is alive. Faithful fathers, there's rest in the Lord. God's church is still alive. So family of God, lift your hands. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. The church, God's church triumphant, is alive. It's alive, my friends, alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let's stand together. Oh, the question, we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Glory swell, for the church is alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let the people, are you rejoicing this morning? Rejoicing in a Savior this morning. We've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Is alive and well. Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Rejoice on this Palm Sunday, because he is alive and his church is alive and well. Praise God. praise God, you and I can hold our head up high and trust and praise God because He is alive. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it one more time before we go.
The church, be the church. Let the people rejoice.
You're dismissed.